You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As you know by now, we start off the show with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by wealth manager at PSG Wealth, Nellis Brink, to take a look at the market movements and see if we can digest them. Good evening, Nellis. Thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to catch up with you as always. Last night, we got interest rate decision out of the US. The decision itself was not alarming, but the conversation that followed thereafter sent markets into a tailspin. I can't see any market that's really recovered today other than US markets, which seems a bit biased.
Good evening, Jimmy. It's great to be back. Yeah, that was a tough conversation last night, definitely. As you so well said, the rate cut was expected, 25 basis points, well on track, going well. And then they gave Powell the microphone. So
it's never a good thing.
What he did, just to break it down for the listeners, what he did is he said they will not, definitely not, he used very strong language, as we call it, he will definitely not keep cutting at the current pace, as little as two cuts for the next 12 months. So that will only bring down their Fed rate to 4%, which is very high for the US, being used to something closer to 1.5 over the last decade. So absolute tailspin in the market. All of my screens are red. The US just opened now with a slight recovery, but I mean, we're talking 0.3%. It's almost nothing. It's essentially flat. There's been some massive losses in the markets worldwide. And then, of course, weakening in emerging market currencies, with our rand slotting in at 18.35 at some point today.
Nellis, when you think about the statements from Fed Chair Powell, you kind of get the sense that he's trying to taper and manage expectations and avoid a recessionary environment and kind of ensure a soft landing, which has been his rhetoric for the longest time. But the tone that he delivered yesterday's message with, is that not something that could potentially send markets into the exact recession he's trying to avoid?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we think he should be very careful in the way that he addresses these things, because they have made the biggest mistake in the Fed's history in 2022 or 21, right after COVID, to not react on inflation soon enough. And it starts to seem like they are late once again with cutting rates. And I don't want to go to zero. That also caused problems. But he needs to move a little quicker just to get the average American consumer to level base.
Nellis, what about the rest of the world? We've got data out of the Eurozone. We've got data out of the UK as well. And it suggests for the most part that we might start to see a divergence in how economies are handling things. Other economies might be experiencing recessionary pressures more so than the US. Obviously, not everybody was able to roll out a multi-trillion dollar stimulus package for their own countries. But does this now mean that next year, countries, including South Africa, might look at the picture and say, yeah, we understand what you're doing from a US perspective, but that doesn't line up with us?
We've seen the divergence already, Jimmy. So firstly, in South Africa, which we are very, very happy about, we've seen our Reserve Bank not tracking the cuts on a basis point to basis point as they've done in the past. So there's already formed divergence. And then we've seen some interesting inflationary data from the UK. They have not been able to cut down inflation quite as quickly as the rest of the developed world. And then I think we've entered a space where the way we look at inflation is going to change. I believe we're going to see targets of slightly higher inflation as the norm in your developed countries. And perhaps a country like South Africa should be looking at, it's a discussion me and you've had before, at something below 6 as our target rate, rather than 3 to 6, something like a 2 to 4, to help our economy to mature as well.
Now let's stick with some geopolitical things happening around the world. I want to look at some global developments. I saw a news article saying that there's a billionaire's yacht that is docked off the coast of Cape Town, and it's a Russian billionaire's yacht. And that's quite interesting because the commentary that came out of that from a South African point of view was at least that Russia is a member of the BRICS bloc, and therefore we will not be doing anything about this information. Is this something that's going to matter next year when we go into a presidency where Donald Trump is ready to wage war against everybody that's not aligned with America?
I think South Africa is in an extremely complex situation here. Because the yacht specifically belongs to Alexei Mordashov. Now, he is a billionaire, or the chairman of their biggest steel and mining company in Russia, Severstal, right? So they are directly supplying the military, or one of the biggest military suppliers, obviously. And he's a close friend of Vladimir Putin. But as you so well said, we are part of BRICS, and our loyalty technically should be sitting with Russia and not with America. So I'm very glad I did not have to make that call whether we allow that boat in or not. Because now if we see the comments that we've had from Damian Lewis, the mayor of Cape Town, he said he's opposed to letting the yacht in. The problem is we can't just simply take America's side because Russia is doing certain things that we do not approve of. Russia is still technically our trading partner, and so is the US. So it's a very, very slippery slope. I think Trump is going to review our AGOA agreement, whether we allow yachts in or not. So perhaps they should rather take the profits. Billionaires do spend a couple of bucks when they're traveling as well, and some of it's not on the credit card. So they might make some money off of him rather than really shifting global tensions by not allowing him in.
Well, I remember an interesting conversation with the, I think it was the spokesperson of the Department of International Relations, clarifying South Africa's non-aligned stance. There's a difference between being non-aligned and being sort of in the middle of nowhere. So non-aligned means we are in the interest of South Africa's interests, and maybe that's what that looks like. Let's move on. It's quite an interesting perspective. There's an article around it. I'll put up the article on socials as well. A very interesting read on the interpretation of whether or not taking a side versus taking your own
just
side.
Just not aligned.
Yeah, not exactly. Aligned. Yeah.
Not simply. Remember, South Africa has no obligation to enforce sanctions under the United Nations. No obligation. So maybe they're simply not doing anything drastic.
Geopolitics are so weird. So weird. Nellis, I want to look at the Nissan-Honda merger. It seems as though Nissan's been going through quite a bit of trouble in Japan. They announced that they were potentially facing bankruptcy. And now we've seen that they could potentially be merging with one of their biggest rivals, Honda, from an EV perspective. But I suppose it's probably from a larger perspective as well if they're battling bankruptcy.
I think the EV explanation is simply a way to break it to the markets. I think it's much bigger than that because Nissan is essentially bankrupt. I mean, they've already laid off, I think, more than 9,000 jobs in this quarter alone. Nissan is in big trouble. Now, the technological advancements that they can make together, they do have a bit of less competitive pressure if they were to merge. That could really help, and they're obvious financial challenges. However, there's a big difference in their corporate cultures. So Honda traditionally has been very, very strongly independent. And Nissan has been very strongly collaborative. So to merge these two would be a very tricky thing. And then, of course, as you well know, Nissan's got an existing alliance with Renault. Previous deal they did to up the cash flow, which is could possibly throw a spanner in the works in a merger like this. I think it will be a savior to Nissan, but it'll be very complex to pull off.
Complexities going into the new year. That's going to be something to keep an eye out on, but that's the same conversations that we've been having around the fact that some companies are going to be in the running for picking up some really good assets next year, and this could potentially be one of those good deals. We'll see how the deal unfolds. We'll see how it plays out going into next year. For now, Nellis, thanks so much for the time and the contributions throughout the year. We'll look forward to catching up in the new year. We'll leave the conversation there. Nellis Brink, Wealth Manager at PSG Wealth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.